Father in heaven, Lord, we ask your spirit to be with us. And Lord, I ask that you will take this vessel that's standing before your people. Humble me, Lord, and may you speak through me. May the words of life come through Christ and only through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this message was born out of a conversation I have with my wife, Pearl. And seems like a lot of messages come out of those types of conversations, and which is wonderful. Because sometimes we have to look at what is actually happening before our very eyes. And sometimes we don't see things that were meant, that are meant to be seen. And so the reason why the opening hymn was picked, the reason why the scripture reading was read, the reason why you're going to hear a closing song, and even the children's story all relate to this message. The sermon title is entitled, He is a Liar. He is a Liar. And what is he? And that's the big question. So I think you're probably already surmising where this message is going. However, basically, want to add a word to the sermon title, fear. He is a liar. And we all face fears. We all face fears. Fear is a big problem in the world right now. You know, you have fear of political turmoil. You have fear for the future. Fear of wars and rumors of wars. Fear of getting sick. Fear of dying. Fear for the safety of our families. Fear of finances. Fear of not being able to pay your bills. Fear of losing a job. So many fears in this world. There's so many. And all of us know what it's like to be afraid at some point in our life. Some people are afraid of snakes or spiders, right? For some of you, it will be storms. It'll be fear of heights. It'll be fear of flying and fear of death. And we have come to believe that fear is normal. Everyone has fear, so it must be something we humans all have in common. Well, actual fact, it is. It is something we all have in common. But is this type of fear normal? We feel it's normal, but the reality is God has nothing to do with it. God has nothing to do with it. These types of fears are the author of who? The devil, Satan. Satan wants to take over your thoughts and he wants to take over your life. And this spirit of fear comes directly from the author of sin. He is a liar and only wants to take over your thoughts and your life. And he's so good at it. The liar is working overtime right now. And that's why the message today is fear. He is a liar. You know, there's going to come a point in time in this world's history where everything is going to come to a close. In rapid succession, actually. And are we going to fear what is about to break upon this world? Are we fearful of that? Well, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, or surrounded, about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, that's a powerful text right there. It really is. God wants nothing to hinder or hold us back. It doesn't matter what we're going to face. It doesn't. And one of the biggest things that holds people back is fear. It's designed that way. Satan wants to hold you back. He wants to put you in a box. Fear keeps you from entering into everything that God has planned for you. We see this in the children of Israel, don't we? Well, you know, they had been in slavery for 400 years, and God heard their prayers and set them free. He used many miraculous signs and wonders to set them free and to deliver them. And they saw his power firsthand, time and time and time and time again. Yet, when it came to enter the promised land, we talked about this in Sabbath school class, when they finally got to where they were going, they refused to enter in. Why? Because of fear. Because of fear. They were afraid. What were they afraid of? Well, they sent spies into the land to check it out, this promised land. And when they got back in Numbers 13, 30 to 33, says that Joshua and Caleb said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land. And they said in Numbers 13, "The land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." You're going to go in there, you're going to be eaten up. You're going to be killed, right? "And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." And in Numbers 14:9, Joshua and Caleb said those famous words, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, for the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But the people did not overcome their fear. And fear kept the children of Israel from entering into their destiny, their promise, their dream. Is fear holding you back? Is fear holding you back? Is fear keeping you from entering into your destiny? Because God has a destiny for you. God has a promise for each and every one of you. Is fear holding you back from risking anything? Is fear of failure causes many people to never try anything that is not completely safe? So they stay stuck in life. Not only does fear hold you back, but it can impact those around you as well. Now maybe you think you have no fears. Maybe you're a worrier. Do you worry about things? Constantly anxious over what may happen? If you look up the word worry in a thesaurus, you will find these words that have similar meaning to that word of worry. Anxiety, apprehension, nervousness, stress, fear. In other words, worry is just another name for fear. All of us have fears that we need to overcome, and if we don't, it will hinder our lives. Now, do we overcome this of our own selves? Of course not. Let me just say this. Fear hinders relationships by keeping people from making the call to ask someone out, or start a relationship, or making the call to ask for forgiveness and restore a relationship. Fear hinders careers by keeping people from going back to school or asking for a promotion. Fear hinders blessing by keeping people from, you know, working for the Lord. Fear hinders worship by keeping people more concerned about what people think than what God thinks. Satan's desire is to what? To steal. Satan's desire is to kill. And Satan's desire is to destroy. You can't sugarcoat it. Fear is one of his biggest tactics, and he's good at it. He's so good at it. There are many who suffer under the burden of shame. Shame defines and controls them every single day of their lives. A woman wakes up in the morning with this awful sense of shame that hangs over her. A man goes to bed thinking that he is a loser, that he's stupid, that something's wrong with him. A young person feels that no one wants to be their friend, or they don't measure up to their peers somehow. They are made fun of. These are all consumed by fear and the consequences thereof. What happens to someone who feels the weight of shame in their life, whether real or perceived? They withdraw into themselves and eventually loathe to even go outside. They put themselves in a box that Satan has already designed for them. They withdraw from having conversations. They withdraw actually meeting people. It is tormenting to live this way for anyone. Do you know of anyone who lives this way? Or have you heard of someone who lives this way? 1 John 4:18 says that fear has torment. There is no fear in love. No fear in love. But perfect love does what? It casts out what? Fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Who has perfect love? God. Jesus. That's who we need. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if you're fearing, your focus is not on what? It's not on God, right? Just by that text alone. And the word torment comes from the same root word as torture. So you're in a torturous situation. It means to cause pain and suffering, physical, mental, or emotional. Fear wants to stalk you. It wants to track you down. It wants to capture you. Fear will hinder you, limit you. It will paralyze you. Let me say that again, but replace the word fear with Satan. Satan wants to stalk you. Satan wants to track you down. Satan wants to capture you. Satan wants to hinder you. Satan will limit you, and Satan will paralyze you. Now, you can't get any more straightforward than that, can you? It's all about Satan there. That's exactly what Satan does. That's what he's good at. That's what he's the author of. What fear has Satan bound you with? Whatever it is, this much I know. Fear is not from God. Fear is not from God. The most common command in the Bible is what? Fear not. Fear not. If God commands us not to fear, then it must be possible to not fear. God wouldn't say something if it wasn't possible for us to not do or to do. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." This verse tells us that fear is definitely not of God. Fear is not like a cold where you can just let it run its course and will eventually get better. Fears only get worse. Fears compound fears. Fears upon fears upon fears. Fears just don't go away. They must be overcome. Overcome by the blood of Jesus. As easy as that. And God has given us the tools to overcome the spirit of fear, to overcome Satan. Satan must be resisted on every turn. So let's go look at three ways that we can overcome Satan and the fear that he attempts to trap us in. Well, obviously, we overcome fear with God's power. That's the only way. To overcome fear, we cannot deny it. We cannot hide from it. We can't get into it, and we can't run from it. We must face it. A lot of people, what they do with fear? They run. They turn and run from it. But what's happening? They can't run from it. It doesn't go away. You have to face it. Right? You have to face it. And we must face it in the power of God. Do you know of anyone who is afraid of going to the doctor for fear of some unknown or unwanted diagnosis or test or procedure? Do you know anyone who's fearful of going to the doctor? I've known a few people in my life that are afraid to go to the doctor. I knew a woman who feared going to the doctor, and then finally, after weeks of extended pain, she had no choice but go to the emergency. And she was diagnosed with what? With cervical cancer. And it was too late. That's a true story. It was too late. What's that? No. No, but the woman's not... wasn't in this church, okay? But I'm just saying, you know, it was too late because of that fear of going to the doctor. Why? What's the fear of going to the doctor? So by extension, what we're saying is I'm afraid to go to the doctor because he might give me a bad diagnosis or he might reveal something that I might have to change. And so I'm just going to put the blinders on and go my merry way. And everything's going to be A-okay. Everything's going to be peachy, peachy, peachy. And guess what? It never ends up peachy, does it? It never does. You have to deal with it, right? And the fear that Satan inflicts is always paralyzing. It's always debilitating. When you face your fear by doing what you are afraid to do, you break the power of fear. It's just as simple as that. And you get that power over the fear because of Jesus. It's as simple as that. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Even our faith. We overcome fear the way Jesus taught us to overcome, with the Word, with the Word of God. Claim those promises of God. Look up those promises of God. Take them into your heart. Take them into your soul. Accept them for you personally, right? God wants us to be victorious. So we are to fight fear, fight Satan the way Jesus taught us to fight, with the Word of God. And Jesus fought Satan with the Word of God, didn't he? When he's in that temptation time and Satan was trying to tempt him, he fought him back with the Word of God. And if Jesus can do it, we can do it. Psalm 56:3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." So when I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Is that hard to do? Sometimes when we're in a really difficult situation, the last place we want to go is where? To God. Why? Because we want to work it out our own selves. It's going to be resolved by everything I'm going to do. I'm going to do this to fix this, and I'm going to do that to fix this. Does it work? Never works. Why do we keep doing it? Because we are born with sinful natures. We want to be our own gods. It's just as simple as that. We just want to do it ourselves. But God has the answer for every dilemma that we will ever face in our entire lives, every single day. And it's a beautiful thing. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." That is a powerful verse. You may say, "But I've tried to overcome fear and I can't." Well, again, in your own strength, you cannot. Apart from God, we can do nothing. When we get to that point, when we finally understand that without God, we cannot do anything, that's a very powerful thing, personally, when you think about it. It's only through God that we can be victorious. And it's only through Jesus. However, we must believe that through His power we can do anything God wants us to. What does Philippians 4:13 says? "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." We talked about Paul this morning in Sabbath school class. Paul was in a difficult situation. He was in prison. He had gone through a lot of difficulties in his life. But he says this, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." All things. All things. We can do what things? Everything. We can do everything, including overcoming Satan. Because you ever try overcoming Satan by yourself? That's not going to work. That never will work. It just will not work. And any fear that he throws at us, we can overcome it by the strength of Christ. Anything God wants me to do, he gives me the power to do. That power comes from being filled with the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "is come upon you. And ye shall be witness unto me, both Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth." So the Holy Spirit came upon them, and what happened? They went forward with power, and they shared the good news in power. They didn't fear. They didn't fear what someone was going to say to them. They didn't fear persecution. They didn't fear to be dragged by horses down the streets. They didn't fear to be dunked in vats of oil. They didn't fear to be, hung on the cross upside down. They didn't fear any of it. Why? Because they believed. They believed with all of their heart and souls, and they allowed Christ to move them. That's it. And instead of being filled with fear, be filled with faith. Amen? That's what God wants. He wants us to be filled with faith. Instead of being filled with the spirit of fear, be filled with the Spirit of God. You can overcome fear with the power of God. We have the power of the blood of Christ, the power of the Word of God. You can overcome fear with the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? Satan and all of his evil angels tremble at the sound of that name. They actually tremble at the sound of the name of Jesus Christ. That is astounding. It really is when you think about it. When we resist the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, it must flee. It's not that it might flee or there's some kind of a thing going on where, you know, Satan's going to overpower God. Absolutely not ever. Never, ever. We have a powerful God. We have a God that loves us, who protects us, who puts his arms, he braces us, who gives us victory all the time. We overcome the spirit of fear with a sound mind. What does a sound mind mean? 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? A sound mind." What is a sound mind? What's a sound mind? Well, obviously, it's not a confused mind, right? It's not a confused mind. It's not a mind that's vacillating in whatever. It's a sound mind. It's calm. It's well-balanced. It's disciplined. It's self-controlled. And how do we do all that? Through Christ. It's always done through Christ. A mind controlled by fear is the opposite of this. Instead of being calm, a mind controlled by fear is constantly stirred up and stormy. It's the opposite. Instead of being well-balanced, a mind controlled by fear is out of balance. Totally focused on the bad, not the good, the negative, and not the positive. Have you ever meet someone who's always negative? No, seriously, have you ever met anyone who seems to be negative all the time? Like constantly negative. Like, why is that? Well, there's reasons for it. There's definite reasons for it. Instead of being disciplined and self-controlled, a mind controlled by fear is out of control. Right? It's opposites. It's all opposites, right? Fear will impact the way you think. It really does. If you think fearful thoughts, fear, yes, Satan will control your mind. But if you think God thoughts, faith will control your mind. It's the opposites again, right? If you speak fearful words, If you speak fearful words, fear, yes, Satan will control your life. But if you speak God's word, faith will control your life. So it's obviously a contrast, right? Satan cannot exist in the presence of Jesus, right? Right? So if we have Christ living in us, can Satan bring his fear within us? Absolutely not. He can't. It's just one or the other, right? And most of our fears are the result of wrong thinking. That's why God's word says our minds need to be renewed. We need to be renewed all the time. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world." Well, why on earth would we ever want to be conformed to this world? Let me just stop there. Like, why? What does this world have to offer us? Misery and death. That's it. We might have a few pleasures along the way, but they're temporary. They are so temporary. And someday, it'll all end. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to renew our minds through the Word of God. That's how we renew our mind. Now, on the opposite side of that equation, how do we destroy our mind? Well, I'm not going to ask that question. You know why? Because you're thinking all kinds of things right now in your minds. Okay? You need to ask these questions, right? We need to renew our minds through the Word of God. We've got to choose to believe God more than we believe circumstances. So if you're going through some difficult circumstances, not of your own fault, shall we say, right? For instance, in the news and on social media platforms, everywhere we turn, we hear voices all around talking gloom and doom, right? Everywhere we see in the news, you turn on the news on TV or you look up news on your phone, whatever the case may be, it's never good. I'm telling you, it's never good, right? And if there is one little good news story, it's hidden, tucked away somewhere at the bottom of all the bad news, right? We can either choose to be afraid or we can trust in God and accept His word that He will protect us and meet all our needs according to the riches of His glory. We can live in fear of dying, Or we can overcome that fear by believing. Believing what? John 14, 2 and 3. You know the verse? In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there ye may be also. That's probably the best promise in the entire Bible. Jesus is preparing a place so much better than this old dark world that we live in. Now, if you don't think we live in a dark world, then I don't know. I don't know what else to say. But we are in a dark world. And we overcome fear with love. God's love, right? At first glance, it does not seem that love could be effective in conquering fear. You would think it would be something like faith. 1 John 4, our scripture reading, 18 and 19. There is no fear in love. We could just stop there. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love? Who has perfect love? God. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. It's all about God's love. God's love will banish all fear. Fear, or in other words, Satan, and love, God's love, cannot coexist. When one comes in, the other must leave. That's actually a very profound thought. Here's how this works. The more we love God, the less fear we will have. It is a matter of trust. Trust. When we realize that God loves us and will take care of us, it relieves our fears. When we trust in his perfect love, it casts out all fear. The more secure we are in the fact that God loves us, and works all things for our good, the less fear we will have. In actual fact, all fear will be gone at that point. The Lord is with us wherever we go, and his love casts out all fear. And that is a beautiful thing. It really is. We don't have to accept what Satan has in store for us, or what he wants for us, leading down to paths of destruction and misery and torment. You know, you see it all around you, actually. When you really drive around or walk around your own communities or whatever, you see it all around you. You see how people are going around with furrowed brows and they're just stressed out to the max. And, you know, they don't know what way to turn. You know, they feel that there's no hope. You see it all over the internet. You see it on social media platforms. You see it on the news. You see it everywhere. People are perplexed. People are worried. People are stressful. People are in fear of what's about to break upon the world. You know, even in our Adventist circles, we're seeing signs of things happening prophetically. We know it's coming. The disaster of this world is going to come to a close. And are we fearful of that? Because some may think, well, I'm not ready. You know, I'm not ready for that, right? Well, what's the answer? God casts out all fear. God in your life. God residing in you. God banishing any fear that we may have. We don't fear death because our Father has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't fear lack because our Father meets all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We don't fear the devil because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't fear the future because the future is in our Father's hands. Amen? We don't fear what man can do to us because if God is for us, what's the answer? Who can be against us? Amen? We don't fear evil because what the enemy means for evil, our Father turns to good. We don't fear job loss because Jehovah Jireh is our provider. And we don't fear sickness because Jehovah Rapha is our physician, and he's the great physician. So we don't have any need to fear. And I'm speaking from personal experience. Every time I'm up here, I'm speaking from personal experience. You know, we all go through commonalities. We all go through things that's stressful and trying, that gets in our way, that breaks down our path. When you know the Lord, his perfect love casts out all fear. When you know he is good all the time, perfect love casts out all fear. Right? When you know He works all things for your good, when you know that nothing can separate you from His amazing love, when you know that He will never leave or forsake you, and when you know that His perfect love casts out all fear, there is no longer any room to fear. Amen? Satan has been cast out. And isn't that a beautiful thing? Satan has been cast out of your life. You overcome fear by practicing the presence of Jesus. And how do you practice the presence of Jesus? By reading His Word, by drawing close to Him, by honoring Him, by living your life according to His perfect will, by allowing Him to come into your heart and soul and pushing out all that fear. That's the answer. Sometimes we go through all these different areas that the world has answers to, all these fears. But that the last place we go is to God. It's amazing when you think about it. The last place we go is God sometimes. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." He's with us in every way. That's the same thing God wants to say to us today. Be strong and have courage no matter what you're facing. Don't be afraid. Why? Because God is with us. We overcome Satan when we know God is with us. We overcome Satan when we know God is in us. And we overcome Satan when we know God is for us. God has not given you fear. But He has given you the way to overcome fear, to overcome Satan, whatever that is in your life, through the power of God, His love, and the sound mind that God gives you. That means if you have fear, you are lacking one or more of those three things that we just went through. We all need the power of God to resist Satan. We all do. You need the Word of God to renew your mind so you won't think fearful thoughts. We all need a revelation of God's love, amen? We really do. Satan wants to destroy each and every person. He doesn't want anyone to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to walk the streets of gold. He doesn't want anyone to live their lives for Jesus. He doesn't want anyone to live their lives according to Jesus and walk through this world for Jesus. He doesn't want that. He wants you lost. And that's the truth. It's only through Jesus that we have the redemption from God. Only through Jesus. So if you're struggling in any form, cast your fears upon Jesus. He will fix it. Just trust. Trust. You know that song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. It's true, isn't it? It's the only way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we know we live in a fearful world. We know that all around us, the turmoil is everywhere. And we also know that your Bible tells us that these things are foretold. We know that the coming events will be drastic. We know it's coming. But Lord, help us to trust in you in every situation. And personally, Father, let us personally accept you into our lives, even more than we even are now, perhaps. For Father, it is only through you that you cast out fear. You cast out Satan so that we can live in this world, be redeemed, be revived, and walk through and share the love of Jesus to those around us who also are fearful, who are also under attack by Satan. Help us to be a living light to anyone around us who is struggling that way with a kind word, a compassionate voice, even a hug, Lord. Whatever it is, help us to be that living witness for others. May they be drawn to the love of Jesus. And that to cast the fear of Satan away. We thank you, Father, for your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.